Martin Ramirez was a homeless exile confined to a mental institution during the Great Depression when he began to create art in earnest. Today, his colored drawings are treasured by museums, and some critics have even called him one of the great American artists of the 20th century. Almost a third of Ramirez's surviving works are now on display at the American Folk Art Museum in New York City. John Kalish has this look back on the artist's life.
In 1925, Martin Ramirez left a pregnant wife and three children in Mexico to find work in California. He was 30 years old at the time. In addition to a portion of his wages, Ramirez sent home what are thought to be his first drawings. Kristen Espinoza is a sociologist researching the artist's life.
The earliest evidence that he was drawing was right after he came to the United States. He was sending letters home to his family with little drawings in the margins. And he sent a picture to his older sister of a nude woman on horseback and apparently did so to shock her. She was quite conservative.
By 1931, Ramirez had joined thousands of other people on the streets of Northern California, victims of the Great Depression. Ramirez spoke no English, and Espinoza's former husband, Victor, who is also a sociologist, says the inability to communicate and the government's need to do something with all of the homeless may have resulted in their institutionalization when they didn't really need psychiatric care.
Many of the people that were inside those hospitals were not really mentally ill. We have to remember in those days, we're talking about the Depression era in California. People were living in the streets, and the mental institutions were really like homeless shelters.
Espinoza points out that just being an immigrant can be a traumatic experience. Martin Ramirez was initially diagnosed as a manic depressive. He fled from one hospital three times. In 1948, he was transferred to DeWitt State Hospital, where he was housed on a tuberculosis ward run by James Durfee. At the age of 78, Durfee still remembers Ramirez.
He was a very frail, small man, maybe around 100 pounds in weight, and maybe 5 foot tall.
Durfee describes Ward 106 at DeWitt State Hospital as something out of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It was crowded, and he says the population showed a wide variety of symptoms. Some of the men were violent. Durfee says he put Ramirez in one of the ward's few small rooms, but the artist would still cower beneath a table.
It was my opinion that he was very fearful of some of these other patients, and I believe that's why he chose to draw in a crouched position underneath a table. Many times I tried to get him to do his drawings on a tabletop, and he would just move back underneath the table.
Durfee remembers that before Ramirez began drawing, he had to make his own paint pots.
Martin collected oatmeal mush in the mornings and made little pots. He baked them on a steam radiator. The pot might be like 3 inches high and 3 inches across at the top, and he would use that pot to mix his paints.
For paint, Durfee gave Ramirez crayons and colored pencils.
Martin ground them up, and then he spit into the little pot and mixed his paint, usually with a matchstick. I always thought it was quite remarkable the colors that he could blend together this way.
Ramirez would use that same matchstick to apply his colors, subdued reds, yellows, and blues. Many of the drawings are on sheets of examining table paper, some of them more than 8 feet long. Durfee began collecting the drawings for a psychologist who was studying the relationship between art and mental illness. Ramirez depicts trains running in or out of tunnels, cars morphing into turtles, and a Madonna standing on a globe with a snake coiled at her feet. There are also drawings of animals and men on horses holding pistols. The curator of the Ramirez exhibition at the Museum of Folk Art is Brooke Davis Anderson.
He's certainly recording his life experiences in these drawings. He had not been to his home in Mexico for over 30 years. And so there's an undeniable patina of Ramirez's memory living in every single drawing.
Shortly after Ramirez came to the U.S., before he was hospitalized, Jalisco, his home province, was torn apart by the bloody Cristero Rebellion, which pitted Catholic insurgents against the Mexican government. Between 1926 and 1929, tens of thousands on both sides died in the conflict. Ramirez's wife and children lost their land and animals, and the artist likely heard about all of this through letters and the stories of more recent immigrants. Again, sociologist Kristen Espinoza.
His image of Jalisco, once he was in the United States, and particularly after the Cristero Rebellion, was a very mixed one. It was sort of a hybrid of this nostalgic, idealized place where he had, you know, been working his own land and had his family, and then these images that he hadn't seen but certainly was imagining in his mind of the Cristero Revolution and the devastation of his land and of the people.
Martin Ramirez seemed to withdraw into himself. He rarely spoke during the 30 years he spent in psychiatric hospitals. When a nephew came to visit in 1952, Ramirez declined to return to Mexico with him. When the artist's wife was contacted, she refused to take him back. The psychologist who studied Ramirez's drawings never interviewed the artist. Nevertheless, in a paper, he concluded that Ramirez was not mentally ill. Victor Zamudio Taylor, a scholar and curator based in Mexico City, says Ramirez was clearly using his art to negotiate his way through a confusing and troubling time in his life.
Much like Frida Kahlo, his art is a form of survival and of therapy. It's a form of making sense of the world in which he lives in. He is creating artwork almost under a kind of personal emergency. He needs to create that work to wake up the next day.
But curator Brooke Davis Anderson doesn't see Martin Ramirez as a tragic figure.
The photographs of him show him smiling. He chose to stay where he was, and he was making art. And to my eye, those compositions do not feel sad. To my eye, they are very real documents of a life lived, and that's a lot to be joyful about.
Martin Ramirez died in 1963 at DeWitt State Hospital. He was 68 years old. He spent nearly half his life in California mental institutions. Ramirez left behind nearly 300 drawings. For NPR News, I'm John Kalish in New York.
The first major retrospective on Martin Ramirez in 20 years travels next to California and Milwaukee.